May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 673. When Jesus' gracious hand has touched our eyes and ears, oh, what a dreary land the wilderness appears. No healing balm springs from its dust, no cooling stream to quench the thirst. Hymn 673.
Let us read from the Word of God. In the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapters 3 and 4. The Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapters 3 and 4. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, insomuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honour than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest? For to them, but to them that believe not, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in, because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labour therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he help us in prayer. O Lord, our God, we do come before thee once more, begging that thou wilt come and help us. And knoweth how we feel so insufficient for these things. Lord, one feels insufficient to come and stand here, in, as it were, in place of our dear beloved friend, dear John. Oh, thou knowest how it is, Lord, with him. Oh, thou knowest how we did have contact with his dear wife, oh, several times, when we knew he was unwell in America. Lord, thou hast brought him safely back, and Lord, oh, those things that had taken place, and that great loss, oh, thou knowest he is a dear loving pastor. And Lord, we know him as a dear beloved friend. And we do feel much coming here tonight. Lord, oh, we feel much for our dear friend. Thou wouldest, O Lord, raise him up and strengthen him. Thou knowest how we did have close conversation together on the day of the funeral. How our dear friend spoke of how he felt in experience like dear Hezekiah. And with an exercise and desire like Hezekiah spoke, to go on softly all his days. Oh, there knoweth how we felt him, in sweet and close communion with him, when he spoke these things to us. Oh, that blessed fellowship in the gospel. Oh, his willingness to spend and be spent was spoken of, however weak he feels. The Lord, thou knowest all these things are in thy hand. Oh, Lord, thou knowest we do feel much love to our friend in thy holy name. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with him, be very near him tonight. May he feel settled, and Lord, may he be favoured to know something of that blessed rest, oh, that we've been reading of. And know with our Lord, we were not led to the reading until we got just off the main road and stopped there. The friends will know the spot we expect, where we pulled in there. And Lord, thou didst lead us then to open up and find the two chapters we have read. Now thou didst so come in the sweet power of the Spirit, we trust. Lord, we've now been singing on the very subject. Lord, it is humbling. Oh, we beg to be with us tonight. Oh, I beg for help, Lord. I beg for help for the poor minister who needs it so much, but I beg for help too, Lord, for the dear friends. Oh, I beg thee, Lord, come among us. May we know and feel thy sacred presence here. May we know something of thy wonderful love. And the Lord thou knowest how. Oh, we've also been reading in the portion something of the very reality of what our friends prayed for. Oh, how the apostle was able to acknowledge, knowing it himself, and writing to the Hebrews, we are partakers of Christ. Oh Lord, thou knowest how it was with us yesterday. Oh, concerning Ruth, at meal time come thou hither. Lord, thou thyself didst speak so much blessedly of it, of thy people, blessedly favoured to partake of thee. Oh, how thou didst speak of thyself, the bread of heaven. My flesh is meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed. Dear friends, come desiring a crumb of mercy. One food for their souls. And also to know that we shall enter into rest. Lord, oh, and we need to know rest for our souls, as much is known of weakness and trouble in the conflict. Oh, thou knowest the battle is too hard for us, Lord. It's too fierce, it's too great for us. Oh, we do feel so much weakened, and Lord, so much needing to feed upon thee, to be given fresh strength, to be enlightened and enlivened and invigorated by the favour of thy feeding us, giving us that favour, and to drink of the wells of salvation. Oh Lord, do come tonight and favour souls here. There might be a portion for six and for seven of right. You could please thee, Lord, who knoweth the cases, who knoweth what they need. I beg thee, do feed souls, bless souls. May thy living family be so blessed to enjoy salvation, full and free. O Lord, do so come among us, may they not lack, Lord. Through the dispensation of one coming in another's place. Lord, may it be ordered of thee, appointed of thee. We know our dear friend John would rejoice with us if something is done tonight in thy holy name for thy glory. O Lord, we pray, may it be so. Especially bless our dear friend's flock. Thou knowest how we think of them daily and feel for them. Because of those things that have taken place, knowing something of it in our own path, makes it, Lord, a matter that cannot be forgotten, cannot be left. Lord, thou knowest it all about it. And oh, we pray for all thy dear people where they gather. As any are gathering tonight, be with them. And Lord, thou knowest the services appointed for this week. And Lord, what is before us and others, thy servants in the work of the ministry, if it be thy will. Oh, we do pray, we may blessedly know and feel it with love to the dear servants of God. Oh, Lord, we would love them in thy name and remember them. And Lord, that thy living family may be fed. Who knoweth for most of the day, Lord, we've been pondering upon thee, meditating upon thee, the Good Shepherd. Lord, thou knowest how after reading, after breakfast this morning in Ezekiel 34, that very solemn chapter, but at the head of it, in our Bible, Christ the Good Shepherd. But Lord, there is so much there spoken of bad shepherds, greedy shepherds, shepherds that were left to waste the flock, scatter the flock, not careful for the flock. Oh Lord, it did search us. Oh, and it brought us to solemnly consider and to look and carefully consider and want to discern whether we do really care for the flock. Whether we are really concerned for souls. Lord, oh, thou knowest we do humbly hope. We can acknowledge it, Lord, our concern and burden for souls. And Lord, oh, what we long to see is thy appearing in working in precious souls. So working in them, the will and to do of thy good pleasure. Oh, to bring them into need and to give them to his seekers. Come to thee, come boldly to the throne of grace like we've read, to plead and plead the blood that did for sin atone. Oh, we know it's sinners can say and none but thee, how precious is the Saviour. I beg thee, Lord, oh, may there be many sinners, may to fail themselves truly sinners under conviction. And oh, when convinced of sin, led to Jesus' blood. Oh, go on to be gracious in those, Lord, whom thou hast begun in. We believe thou wilt. And oh, do let thy work appear unto thy servants, Lord, and thy glory to their children. We pray for the dear young people, children and young people here that gather here, those that attend the Sabbath school, and in their lives, Lord, in their days, Lord, as they're growing up in this sin-cursed world. Oh, Lord, our greatest concern for them is that they might, if it could please thee, deal with them, to teach them. Lord, we know it's the Spirit that quickeneth. Oh Lord, and as we've read concerning the dividing asunder soul and spirit, oh Lord, we do want to know and witness the true work and operation of the Spirit, both in ourselves personally and in precious souls. Oh, that we might know this wonderful work and operation of the Spirit. Know it personally and know and witness it in what is the effect of it in sinners, Lord, who are born of the Spirit. O Lord, we pray, let thy work appear. Let thy work appear here, Lord, among the friends here. O may the dear friends carry an exercise of concern one for another. They just say in thy word, pray ye one for another. And Lord, to bear one another's burdens, to know tenderness of spirit, one toward another, understanding. Lord, save us from any kind of critical wrong spirit. Oh, may love all defects supply. You know, if we remember preaching to the dear friends here upon those words of the apostle, I show unto you a more excellent way. Oh, that this blessed way might be our way, the dear friends, his way. And Lord, who see thee and know that you art the way, the truth and the life. And to follow thee, Lord, by faith. See thee gone before. Oh, thou knowest our ponderings last week, with the forerunner as far as ended, even Jesus. Lord, we pray, Lord, may the dear people see thee in the eye of faith, the forerunner who's entered into heaven for them, even Jesus. O object of my first desire, Jesus crucified for me. And then to see thee gone from earth to glory, send it up on high, let captivity captive, and receives gifts from men. And Lord, as our great high priest above, as we have read tonight, may our favour be to have strong faith, to believe in thee, to believe to the saving of the soul. Oh, unbelief gone, faith in lively exercise. Oh, faith with hope and love. Oh, the blessed indwelling of Christ, the work of the Spirit. Lord, thou knowest thy words in John 14, in this way, regarding thy giving the Holy Spirit, sending the Holy Spirit, the Father sending the Holy Spirit in thy name, he shall be in you. Oh, what a favour. Lord, bless the friends, we pray. Oh, be with all thy people, all thy servants, Lord. And do let thy work appear. Oh, we specially beg, Lord, so knoweth how we've made much private confession today. We do have to, Lord. And the friends here will know what is meant, what we have acknowledged now. We feel our guilt. We beg for mercy. We beg, help us, Lord. Oh, don't cut us off. Don't cast us away. We think of how David cried out, cast me not away in thine anger, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. O Lord, we beg as David did, feeling our guilt and sin, looking to thee for mercy. Mercy through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. So come and help us, Lord, we beg thee. Oh, help us in singing thy praises. Oh, help us that we may be able to look into thy word. Oh, to learn thereby under thy teaching. Oh, it might do us good. Oh, that we might labour to enter into that rest. Oh, Lord, help us. We beg for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 740. Lord, when I hear thy children talk, and I believe 'tis often true, how with delight thy ways they walk, and gladly thy commandments do. In my own breast I look and read accounts so very different there, that had I not thy blood to plead, each sight would sink me to despair. Hymn 740.
Thank you.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to the third chapter of Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, and the reading the three verses from verse 12 to verse 14. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Paul the Apostle was very much feeling this in a solemn way, that he, and for these Hebrews, he was concerned ever so much and deeply concerned about unbelief. And you know, friends, when we're blessed and favoured to know something of the love of God, the love of Christ, it is then more solemn to be troubled with unbelief. Unbelief is much in us right from the beginning of our experiences. We're prone to it. We're sinners. We cannot believe. There is a deep and solemn reality, and it's close, and it's something of vital importance in the experience that a child of God must be brought off of his own self-confidence. God's got his ways of doing this, dealing with us, breaking us down, breaking our hearts. Of course, in many cases, when the Lord begins to work, he begins by convicting and convincing them of sin, making sinners know they're sinners, whereas they didn't before. How it was it with you? You might have felt, well, I'm all right. I try to be honest and live a honest life and respectful. But when the dear Spirit begins to work with those God loves, he makes them to know what wretched, treacherous hearts they've got. They've got evil hearts of unbelief. Here, when the dear apostle was naming these things solemnly, he spoke of it, and he was able to acknowledge it because he knew the reality of it himself. Take heed, brethren, these dear people who you've got love to. He had got love to, and this is how he exhorts us in the Church of God, you that love one another in Christ. Take heed, brethren, because there is always much danger about. We are in danger. We are under the assault of Satan. We've got evil hearts. We know, the apostle knew it, and he said, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. We've got evil hearts. We've all got evil hearts. But it's more solemn and very dangerous that the child of God's got an evil heart, and that evil heart becomes an evil heart of unbelief. So quickly, so subtly Satan works, even in those who have been raised to a hope, been made able to believe by grace. These are the characters the apostle is addressing. characters who have been raised to a hope in God's mercy. They've been quickened by the Spirit, they've been made alive. And they are those who know something of exercise by grace. But there's the dangers around, many dangers. Oh, how Newton said, "You come through many dangers, toils and cares." Wonderfully he'd been brought through them. "Grace has brought me safe thus far." And he got that confidence. He wasn't left in an awful way to unbelief. He got that confidence. He was holding that confidence, steadfast to the end. He could say, "Through many dangers, toils and cares I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." How different to what Paul warns of here, of being caught in the treachery of Satan's craft and with and having an evil heart of unbelief. But he goes further. An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Do you see it, friends? Do I? This danger. Which we need to be aware of. The apostle exhorts against it. And oh, we need this. We need to be warned. Oh, the word of God warns. The blessed Spirit, the blessed inspired word of the Spirit, and the Spirit works today to use and apply the holy word of God to poor souls. Oh God. God cares for his people. He's warning his people. He uses his servants for it. He uses his word. He applies his word. One of the hymn writers said, "In tenderness of desire, apply thy word, Lord, that rules must give, and teach us lessons how to live." But this, friends, this is the blessed vital point. And firmly to believe. Yes, we need it, friends. Oh, to be concerned for it. Oh, to be concerned lest we should be left to an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Friends, you gather here, and I do feel the warmth of your love one to another and to myself. And I hope you can feel it and acknowledge it and kindly, one to another. You love one another in Christ. But oh, how quickly Satan can make inroads. How quickly Satan can come and stir things up. And oh, his greatest weapon, his craftiest means is by bringing an influence upon God's people, causing them to doubt, causing them to doubt the truth of God, to doubt what God has done for them. Oh, lest there be in any of you. Oh, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Oh, how soon we can depart from the living God through unbelief. Oh, we know the characters acknowledged here, solemn characters that went back and how they could not enter in. And you think of it, ultimately could not enter into heaven at last because of unbelief. Oh, how solemn this is, isn't it? What a warning it is, isn't it, to us? Take heed, he says, brethren, take heed. You know, there's a natural tendency in mankind not to take heed. We think we're self-sufficient. We think we can care for ourselves. We think we can keep ourselves in the way. This is the treachery of the old nature. The old nature of a child of God has still as much to do with things in their lives and walk and conduct, and it's always working the wrong way. Oh, what we need, friends, is grace to reign in us, Oh, that the new man might be strong and faith in exercise and grace reigning in the child of God. This is what we need. Paul knew it well. Oh, he said, he testified of it, he said. I think as he wrote there, he said, in that epistle, he said, I've had this trouble, this old man, and sin hath abounded in me. Where sin hath abounded, grace did much more abound. What a favour. This is what we need, friends. And when grace much more abounds, especially the wonderful grace of faith, the vital grace of faith. Oh, to have faith. Oh, it's a good thing. And oh, if we're alive and lively spiritually, we'll be praying for faith, an increase of faith. Lord, increase my faith. Oh, Lord, keep my soul alive and increase my faith. This is what you need to pray. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, bearing in mind, and we have to all admit and confess, I hope, with repentance of it in that way we can through the grace in the new man, that we've all got an evil heart. We've all got a wicked heart. But it's a most solemn further trouble when in that evil heart we're more and more troubled with unbelief. Unbelief is that sin accursed, abhorred by God above. Because of all the opposer's worst, it fights against God's love. Take heed, therefore, brethren. I hope, as the dear apostle in my little way, the great apostle Paul, he was concerned for souls. He was concerned for the well-being, the spiritual health of souls. I hope in my little way we come with this. Take heed therefore, brethren, lest in any of you there be an evil heart of unbelief, lest in any of you. Take heed therefore, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. I would more broadly speak this solemnity of departing from the living God to young souls here. You may not, some of you young ones may not yet know the living God. But in God's mercy, he may in time have a purpose for you. We hope you will know it. But if any of you have got any idea that if you get away, you can do what you like, you know, in a sense, that is a solemn thing to depart from the living God. You've been coming here, brought into the chapel by your parents, growing up. You come to the place of the holy where the people of God meet. You've heard the word of God preached. If you leave these things, you'll be doing exactly what Paul speaks of here, departing from the living God. You won't find the living God in the world. You won't find the living God in pleasures of the world. You won't find salvation there. You won't be safe there. You're going away from God. Some have gone far from God as sheep can run. We ever hope God will bring them back. But what they may suffer there, what they may be exposed to, oh, we think of it so solemnly. We are so troubled and concerned for young souls, that they might not go away from the living God, as it were, or want to get away. Oh, what a solemn thing. We know none can be lost who God loves, but don't take that as license. So much is suffered, so much is known of trouble where souls go away in their own determination. But oh, here we're more particularly concerned to consider personally ourselves as professing people of God, and in love one to another, we would exhort one another. Oh, the dear apostle says, but exhort one another daily. While it is called today, that's while we're journeying on through life in this time state. Exhort one another daily. How much of this is there found among the people of God in these days? Exhort one another daily while it is called today. Oh, can you feel, do you feel such a lack in you? Such shortcomings? So much you feel you lack this? Oh, lack this reality of urgency, of importance, of being concerned and exercised personally and one for another. I believe God's holy will in the Church of God is that souls should be concerned one for another. I believe if we are really, truly concerned by grace personally, we will also be concerned one for another. Oh, the apostles, it makes it so clear, he's got it in his heart to be so concerned for souls. He says, but exhort one another daily. While it is called today, and he brings this emphasis, while it is called today, while we're in this life, while it is daytime with us, while it is the time of the Lord's purpose of opportunity, exhort one another while it is called today, and exhort one another while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, friends, it's an awful solemn thing to know and be taught and be convicted and can be convinced of your own and my own deceitfulness of sin. What we've got in us, sin, and the deceitfulness of sin. And the deceitfulness of sin in a particular way that we think we can sin lightly. There's no little sin, you know. Every sin grieves God. Oh, to solemnly feel it. We have to sometimes come under God's chastening to be made to feel it. But oh, to know it, to feel it, to learn it in God's school. Exhort one another daily while it is cool today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Friends, what a solemn thing. Some of us have known it and had to suffer tribulation, and if I may say, great tribulation through it, of God's dealings with us, chastening us and correcting us. Oh, when we become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Paul knew well that the blessed favour of God is known when souls are made tender and fit in God's fear. And I want to come to that in the following verse. You know, oh, what a favour, what a blessing it is to be in the fear of the Lord. But oh, how awfully solemn to be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Is there any one of you, and as I name these things before you, if you're a living soul and God's graciously dealing with you, you will be brought to lay to heart. Solemnly turning your eyes within. You know how we sing sometimes, but when we really feel it, not just using the words, not just saying or singing the words, but really feeling it. When I turn my eyes within, all is dark and vain and wild, filled with unbelief and sin. Can I deem myself a child? What a serious, solemn question that is, isn't it? Oh, there's no evidence, is there? There's no light, there's no really real feeling, warmth of the Spirit, there's no love, really feeling, sense of it burning within you. Oh, the barrenness, the hardness, the coldness, the bitterness. But friends, Paul, the apostle, says, but exhort one another. While it is called today, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, some of us know that when we've fallen into this terrible state, being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, it can go on a long time. It can go on a long time, and you know what is proved then? The heaven is brass. The Lord is silent. And we have to come into bitterness and deep affliction of soul that we are in this state. It's a mercy we do eventually come into deep affliction and feel it, and then cry, have to cry out, Lord, have mercy upon me. Oh, wonderful if it is, but not to be left in it, not to die in it, not to be lost in it. Oh, to be brought. And I believe the apostle to really emphasize this, he goes on. He says, for we are partakers of Christ. But of course he must qualify it. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. See again the gracious emphasis given to Paul to set forth before the people. Oh, see how the importance of it's in him. How he's so strongly concerned and exercised. Bringing this blessed point. Bringing this wonderful acknowledgement. For we are partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now I want to lead you, friends, to consider this beginning of our confidence. If I know anything of it in my own experience, it is a blessed favour to know something of the love of Christ. And you know, it is blessedly, sacredly tied in God's will and according to the truth with the wonderful reality that God, working in his people, he works in them and teaches them and he brings them in his time to begin to know his love. And when they know something of his love, they have with that filial fear. And that filial fear is like this. It's such a blessing and favour to know the love of Christ. We begin to love him in return, and we love him in such a way we do not want to sin against him, to grieve him. So God works this filial fear. This is the reality, what is worked and what is born in us by the grace of God, what is a reality of the exercise, the concern in the love of Christ and loving him in return. We love him because he first loved us. Dear John was very clear on that. And he spoke much of the love of God, the love of Christ. And, oh, you see in his conduct such closeness, such blessed devotion, such humility. Oh, it was the fear of the Lord that made him what he was, that kept him from evil. And here it says the beginning of our confidence. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy is understanding. The dear Lord working in his people, blessing them, giving them to know his love. And the very reality of knowing his love, it is accompanied by the blessed favour of giving the gift of God of the graces of the Spirit. Filial fear is one of the first. It's the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of our confidence. And oh, to hold it steadfast unto the end. Oh, where we need it, friends. Oh, where we need the Lord to work in these ways and to make us right and keep us right. Oh, how we would carefully, solemnly lay it before you, and needing it oneself to heed the warnings, to tremble before God, to tremble at the approach of sin. Oh, to be in that grieving for grieving him, to pray as Jabez did, keep me from evil that it may not grieve me. And I believe in turn in the reality of it, as he prayed it in that way, he meant it may not grieve me, because it will grieve me if it grieves thee, Lord. Yeah, this is it. This is a reality of great favour now. And to be kept in it is our desire. The apostles' exercise for the dear people was this favour, to be kept in this favour, to be kept and exercised and in concern and heeding warnings, and being able to live upon the reality of those things known in our experience. The beginning of our confidence. It's beginning. It's those early days, those days of our first love. Oh, those days of our espousal. The beginning of our confidence. And of course, it's Christ. It's all of him. It's all what he has done. It's all what he is and what he has to give and to do and has done for his people. If we hold fast the beginning of our confidence, steadfast unto the end. No, friends, as we are together tonight, I hope it is in some of you, dear souls, a feeling, desire of your heart, to want to know it more, not to know the blessed experience of feeding upon him. Yes, this is here. Our friend prayed for food. You know, Paul comes to this most wonderful truth of the favour of God. What God, how God favours his people. For we are made partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, partakers of Christ. This is what we had in the hymns as well, desiring to know that favour, pleading the blood of Christ, and desiring to feed upon him, to eat his flesh and drink his blood by faith. Paul knew it well. We are partakers, for we are partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Friends, it is a concern with us, I trust, that we might know the favour of God giving grace, that we might endure to the end. The grace of faith to believe, to save us from our wretched unbelief. The grace of the filial fear of God to keep us from evil that it may not grieve us. Oh, the grace of filial fear, the beginning of wisdom, the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Oh, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Oh, this is also in the context, in the reality of the need of praying to God. For the warnings are continued in the following chapter, especially upon this important favour of entering into rest, and Christ being the rest, as we sung, of the child of God, to rest in Christ, the ark of grace. But there are the dangers here in the following chapter shown, and the apostle concerned, it says, again, he's in the solemn knowledge that unbelief is such a sin, a curse, abhorred by God above. because of all the opposers, worst it fights against Christ's love. And so here he says, let us labour therefore to enter in to his rest. Let us labour. That means prayer, friends. That means errands to the throne of grace. That means depending on the Lord. That means calling upon him in the day of trouble, and he will deliver thee. It means casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let us labour. Let us labour to enter in to that rest. Oh, you see, there's no room. No room for sleepiness. No room for neglectfulness. There's no room for the sluggard. The sluggard, he will weep in harvest because he wouldn't plough because of the cold. The solemn harvest is coming. When God will put in the sickle, when he'll take you out of this life, death will come, and after death, the judgment. Are we going to be prepared for that great day? Are we concerned to be prepared, to be made, are we made alive and concerned to be kept alive? None can keep alive his own soul. Oh, let us labour. Let us labour. Now, this is not relying on works. This is not some kind of claim of doing things to earn salvation. Let us labour in prayer, calling upon the Lord, begging him to know. It is a wonderful favour in the gospel that we are sinners saved by grace, that he has shed his blood for us, that he has paid the price for our redemption, that he has saved us, and he will keep us from falling, and he will lead us on and lead us home. Oh, this favour, calling upon him, labouring to enter into rest. He's pleading with God, the Lord our God, pleading with the Lord by faith, and casting all our care upon him. This is the favour that Paul is concerned for in these two chapters. He's speaking of the dangers, he's solemnly warning, and he's bringing before the friends these things of great importance, of exercise, that the child of God may be concerned and exercised and be given diligence to make their calling and election sure. The Lord himself said, wherefore, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. The apostle is not lax or slack in exhorting in these ways. Oh, he warns and he exhorts. And the dear people of God are favoured if they are by grace given to heed the warnings and to seek the Lord and to be assured of in their conscience of their part in the Redeemer's blood. So, friends, oh, I hope I'm in it, and I hope there are a good few of you are in it, in the exercise of it, in the concern of it, in the need of it, because you will be a mourner over your sin and after Christ. You will mourn and confess and desire to know tenderness and repentance over your sin, especially your sin of unbelief. Oh, you want to come into that blessed theme of wonder and favour that we sing in the hymn, Begone Unbelief, my Saviour is near. For my relief will surely appear. My prayer, let me wrestle, see the labouring, and he will perform with Christ in the vessel. I smile at the storm. Oh, do you feel to need such exercise? Do you feel to need to beg, Lord, keep me from evil, keep me in the way, save me from unbelief, give me faith, help me to lay hold on Christ by faith. May I be a partaker of Christ to come to the gospel table, to feed upon Christ the Paschal Lamb. Oh, to see him by faith, to hear his voice, to know his love, to feed upon him by faith. We read yesterday those deep words and language of our Lord himself. It's recorded in John chapter 6. Oh, those deep sacred words where he speaks to his disciples, speaks of what he is to his people as the bread of life, the bread which came down from heaven. And oh, how he comes to this, that sacred holy, and we need reverence to even touch upon it, friends. Oh, the holy, sacred reality of the words of Christ. To know the favour of it, to know the blessed privilege of the favour of partaking of him. He says, my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He says, except ye shall eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, there is no life in you. I believe Paul, thus in these solemn things, is concerned for here. He brings it to the most sacred, blessed point of acknowledgement when he says, "But we are partakers of Christ." He couldn't bring it to a more sacred, holy, blessed point of consideration than this. He says, "But for we are partakers of Christ." But friends, oh, how he puts it faithfully, he said, if we hold, he says, the beginning of our confidence, steadfast unto the end. Does it come to you as a very serious matter, a very vital matter, oh, a very important reality that you will know and feel the desire and longing and the prayer for, to be exercised in, to be holding that beginning, the beginning of your confidence, steadfast unto the end. Oh, to be favoured to be steadfast in believing, to be favoured to be in this day by day, believe in our God. Believe in him, believe in who he is, what he's done, what he gives, what he's wrought. Oh, he has loved us, given himself for us. When I was pondering earlier in the day and through the day upon Christ the Good Shepherd, after reading those very solemn things in Ezekiel chapter 34, friends, it would, I believe, be profitable for you to read that chapter. Oh, I believe for you, dear friends here at Swavesey, there are things in that chapter, especially some of you perhaps need to deeply lay to heart, and oh, to never be looking to man, but to be looking to God, to Christ, the Good Shepherd. You know, oh, we want to know genuine things, real things. Oh, nothing of any kind of man's purpose should enter into it. In all our days, our paths, our exercise, our worship, our gathering together. Oh, we want to be led by Christ, the glorious leader. The hymn writer says he claims our praise. For his own pattern given, while the long cloud of witnesses show the same path to heaven, there's no new way, there's no other way to heaven. He is the way, the truth and the life. It's the souls who are blessed to know him, whom to know is life eternal, to hang all their hopes of heaven upon him by faith, to rely on him, to believe in him, to trust him, to know him as your Lord, your life, your all. Oh, to know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. All earthly good I count but loss, triumph in my Saviour's cross. This is how we need to behold him, the beginning of our confidence, steadfast to the end. Oh, nothing but Jesus I esteem, then is my soul secure. But oh, the trouble with us is there's so many other lovers, so many other interests, But oh friends, Paul clearly, faithfully exhorts to the vital points. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. You know, knowing something of the treachery of the way, the child of God will be concerned to be watching against the adversary, watching against your own natural evil, wicked inclinations, watching against Satan, watching against the lust of the flesh, watching against the pride of life. And oh, if you've got grace and that's active in your new man, you will be enabled to be watching against these evils. But oh, wonderful too, in the new man of grace, the eye of faith, to be ever beholding the Saviour, seeing him gone before, and following the Lamb. Oh, that wonderful testimony that John knew of by divine revelation, of those in heaven, those that acknowledge them, oh God acknowledging them, these are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And oh, they had to learn it, friends on earth. They didn't learn it after the grave. They had to learn it here in the time state. Those 144,000 safely landed home that John saw, these are they that came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Wonderful favour, friends, if we are truly followers of the Lamb, followers of the meek and lowly Jesus. I believe if we are followers of Christ the Lamb of God, he has gone to glory. The forerunner's for us ended. If we're followers of him, oh, we must have tribulation in a little measure compared to him. We must know sorrows and sufferings. But soon our sufferings will reach a close, and heaven afford us sweet repose, because we are partakers of Christ by faith. We feed upon him. He's our meat, our drink. He's our all and in all. Oh, so precious. Oh, so much we love him. Oh, we love him because he first loved us. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. So, friends, as you go from this evening service, I hope particularly, you know, in love I bring it before you, needing it myself more than you. Oh, that we might heed this exhortation of the apostle, remembering it's God's exhortation for the dear apostle inspired by the Spirit, knowing it in his own experience, the need of it. He's saying, but exhort one another. You know, this will be good in the church and among the friends here at Swaversey if you are helped and enabled to do as you feel the need yourself and concern one for another and live in this way together. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, if we love one another, we won't want to see our brother or our sister hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We will love to be tender one with another. Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another. Oh, following the perfect example of Christ. If we come short, may we be given a gracious endeavour to desire to follow him, to learn of him, oh, to be like him, and oh, to be praying, be seeking the Lord, that he won't make us a little more like him. Oh, to be like him. We know we will not be like him on earth. We are mortal and frail. But oh, we will be like him in heaven. when we're safely home there, if we are hoped to dwell in heaven together, may we have that grace, that love, to desire to dwell here in the church and among the congregations together, in love and union. Let us abide in love and union. I remember my own wedding when we sang. Let us each abide in union with each other and the Lord, and possess with sweet communion joys which earth cannot afford. You know, when we think of it, as I mention it concerning my own marriage, you know, we hope, being prepared, being called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Think of the requirement of God to see us in union with the Lamb from condemnation free, the saints from everlasting were and shall forever be. Oh, may we be more concerned, friends, in the church of God, to dwell in union and to know that favour, possessing with sweet communion joys which earth cannot afford, the wonderful joys of salvation. Oh, ever the apostle blessedly wrote, and we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may we know this among us as we gather together and as we journey on in the way. We joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, holding this confidence steadfast unto the end, to endure to the end. They that endure to the end shall be saved. And oh, I believe this enduring to the end is in the favour of considering him, seeing him, believing in him. For our Lord, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Adrian Pickett will preach next Lord's Day in the evening. There will be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Wheatley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 334, and we'll omit verse 2. Behold, from the desert of sin, the world and the curse of the law, a fair one whose garments are clean does with her beloved withdraw. Retiring from thence, she appears dejected and often complains, surrounded with sorrows and fears, yet on her beloved she leans. Hymn 334, omitting verse 2.
Dear Lord, do forgive anything that there has seen amiss. Do own and bless thy word. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forever. Amen.